1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. The following, saints, is taken from a Substack post by a sister named Cassandra. Notice she says, friends, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4, verse 4. And she says thereafter, Jesus quoted Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. To show that every word that proceeds from the mouth of God should be more precious to us than food itself. For me, this means, she writes, I should read the Bible, meditate on God's word daily, and let it guide me and direct me in all things. I often say, she writes, quote, I believe it because the Bible says it. Sometimes we may not understand the word when we read it, but read it anyway and pray. The Holy Spirit will reveal what you need to know in His time. In other words, He'll give you understanding in His time. And she finishes by saying, even when reading feels boring, read it anyway. Over time, the Holy Spirit will redefine boring for you, and little by little, it will start feeling refreshing. But try not to let feelings be your guide. Jesus is asking us to read His Word so that we can live, we can have life. So reading despite how we feel is obedience. Unquote. Amen. Sister Cassandra, it's such a blessing that our dear sister has a heart to help people, the people of God, to realize their need to be nourished in the Word of God, which is absolutely essential in sustaining a life with God. As Scripture testifies, notice 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire. Now, God's telling us what to choose to desire. What we desire is a choice, and that's why He's instructing us as newborn babes. In other words, as new Christians, Peter is speaking to people that were recently born again. As newborn babes, desire the sincere or the pure milk of the Word, and here's why, that you may grow thereby. Notice, spiritual growth occurs as we take in, we ingest the words of the Lord. That is our spiritual nourishment. We are nourished in our spirit as born-again believers by the food of the Word of God. That's why Jesus said, as she quoted earlier in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live or have life by bread or physical sustenance itself alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I love what Job said. He says, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. So Job is declaring that he counted the words of God, the commandment of God, the instructions, the words of the Lord more important than his necessary physical food. Job 23:12. Again, I have esteemed the words of his mouth, the Lord's words, which we have on record in the Bible. That's the very thoughts of his heart. Psalm 33:11. And we have them on record so that we can feed on them every day. And again, like Sister Cassandra has pointed out, we shouldn't so much concern ourselves with how much we understand of the Word of God as we should realize how important it is for the nourishment of our spirit and soul in these days on earth. And think about natural food when you're eating. Do you and I even even begin to understand the dynamic of nourishing or of being nutrified by our physical food. No, we have a hunger for it though. And so we eat during the day, beginning in the morning for many of us, right? And we nourish our body so that it has energy and it has nourishment to be very productive and not to faint and become weak. Because that's what's going to happen if we don't eat. And the same thing is true spiritually. If you don't feed on God's word daily, you're going to become weak spiritually and you're going to fall away. You and I cannot sustain a life with the Lord without feeding on his word, without letting him feed us by his word. When we read God's word, he's speaking to us. And it doesn't matter so much as how much you presently understand. As our sister pointed out, we are going to understand more later, but we might not understand exactly and how much we're reading, how much of what we're reading at the moment we're reading it. But like a puzzle, the pieces begin to come together as we obediently feed on the Word of God. We declare with the beloved Job, who said, "I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food," that is, my necessary physical food to feed my body. See, Job understood that his spirit and soul were going to be with the Lord forever, and their nutrition was more important even than his physical nutrition to keep his body sustained and strong. So spiritual growth occurs when we ingest the Word of God. Notice Jesus said we have to continue in his Word, and then and only then are we his disciples indeed. And the word indeed is key there. It means of a surety, or indeed, truly, or verily. Again, John 8:31-32, and then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word. Are you, my friend, continuing in the word of God? Are you continuing to feed your spirit every day with the words of the Lord? That should be the first thing we do upon awakening in the morning, is spend quality moments with the Lord in prayer and in his word. Personally, I have a 4-chapter minimum every morning. And maybe some of you have set a standard of a minimal standard by which you are feeding yourself the Word of God every day. So Jesus said, if you continue in my word. See, our relationship with him and the health of it is contingent upon our obedience to him. If ye continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, of a surety, that is, and you shall know the truth, that is, the word of God, and the truth shall make you free. Notice also in James 1, beginning in verse 22, James writes the following under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." So not only do we read the Word of God, we study it. The Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And that happens, rightly dividing, as you study his word. And that would be 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Okay, so James says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only." Don't just hear it. Obey it, deceiving your own selves. So if we're not doers of the Word of God, we only hear it, we are deceived. We're self-deceived. Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Verse 23 of James 1, he says, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural physical," that is, face in a glass or a mirror. When you think about when you look in the mirror, he's painting a picture. He's illustrating to us what happens if we don't obey, we don't do the word. He says that's like a man who looks in the mirror. Then verse 24, for he behold, he looks at himself and he sees himself, and then he leaves that mirror, he goeth his way, and straightway, or very soon after, forgetteth what manner of man he was. We've got to remember who we are. And the only way to do that is by staying in the Word of God and doing the Word of God. Notice, he forgetteth what manner of man he was. Now, let's grasp the physical illustration here. Jesus spoke in parables. Parables are an earthly story with a spiritual or heavenly meaning. And that's what James is doing here, as the Bible so often uses this type of language to help us to understand spiritual truth by things that we understand in the natural realm. Remember, when you leave the mirror in the morning, after you looked in it, you got yourself together and combed your hair and washed your face and put cream on it or whatever, isn't it interesting how we can relate here that you forget what you look like? Notice, we behold, or we look in the mirror, and then soon after, as we go away from the mirror and we go to work, we go to school, or whatever our day looks like, we forget what manner of man we are. In other words, we forget how we look. And so he looks in the mirror, then he goes away and he forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. In other words, you keep looking in the mirror of the Word of God. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So,
in other words, walking around with a mirror all day long and continuing to look into that mirror, to peer into it at least periodically, would assure that you remember what you look like. And in the same way, staying in the Word of God, getting in the Word of God the first thing when you awake, and then staying in the Word of God by reading portions of it during the day and all the way till you're sleeping, meditating upon it and memorizing it, will assure that you are in the mirror of God's Word, and thereby perpetually reminded of it and quickened by it. And so James is teaching us to stay in the Word of God here in James chapter 1. Getting into and staying in the Word of God assures that we're going to be nourished up. We're going to be nutrified by the spiritual food of the Lord, the one who saved us. And that's why we have a Bible, so that we don't forget who we are. We read the Bible. We find that we are new creatures, remember? 2 Corinthians 5. We fear the Lord, right? Verse 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And then you drop down a little bit and he says, the love of Christ constrains or compels us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that Jesus, he died for all, that we which live should henceforth, or from now on, now that we're saved, live unto God and not ourselves, but unto him that died for them and rose again. That's what we read in the Bible, summated. And we know no man after the flesh, verse 16. We don't even know Jesus after the flesh. Then he says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, and this is just one example of how we are reminded and recalibrated, if you will, as to who we are as the children of God. And if we don't stay in the Word, we're going to forget real quick. And it doesn't matter how long you've been saved. Let me stop right here and say, there are literally millions of people in hell who got saved, but they didn't stay in the Word. They didn't stay with the Lord. You show me a man that's not in the Word, and I will show you a man that has backslidden and is in need of repentance before it's too late. You show me a man that counts God's Word as a hobby, merely dabbling in it here and there,
and I will show you a lukewarm, ready to be spewed from the mouth of Christ man.
Revelation 3, verses 15 and 16.
Notice 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, who hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." We've been brought to God, and now we're to help others to be brought to God, right? Then he speaks of in verse 19, how God was in Christ reconciling or bringing back the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, that is, those that are in Christ, and hath committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Now then, he says, we are ambassadors for Christ. So when you open the Bible and begin to read it, you're going to be reminded, no matter where you're reading, that you're reconciled to the Father through the sacrifice, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's who you are. That is your identity. There is no greater identity than your identity with Christ in your own life. Notice, and here's another example, Galatians 6:14. "But God forbid that I should glory, save, or except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." Now, notice your identity is first and foremost as a child of God. It's not, well, I'm Kenyan, I'm Russian, I'm Latino, I'm American, I'm Mexican, I'm Canadian. All of these things that are of very little importance eternally. Right? That's not your identity. Your identity is that you are in Christ. And that's why Paul said, "But God forbid that I should glory, but God forbid that I should glory, save or except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." Galatians 6:14.
Beloved brothers and sisters, let me exhort you to declare the words of Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, in Galatians 6:14. Declare that you will glory in nothing and no one else, beginning with yourself, but that you will glory from this moment forward in Jesus Christ and throughout all eternity. Again, that's Galatians 6, verse 14 in the King James Bible.
How about 1 Corinthians 2:2? Paul says, "For I determined not to know anything among you, save or except Jesus Christ and him crucified." 1 Corinthians 2:2. Now let me ask you, friend, what are you known for? Can you say with Paul that you're going to determine not to know anything? In other words, nothing's more important to you than Jesus Christ and him crucified. Do people know you as a great piano player, an amazing singer, a person that goes to such and such a church, a person who's very good at one thing or the other? What is your identity that you're putting forth? Are you truly dead and buried with Christ? Are you crucified with Christ? Galatians 2:20, Paul the apostle said, "I am crucified with Christ." I'm dead. "Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." As we close, saints, remember to be encouraged, as our sister Cassandra has so eloquently and simply disclosed or reminded us of the need for ingesting the Word of God daily, not only physical food, but spiritual food, most importantly, as Job reminds us, as he says, he esteemed the words of the mouth of God, out of the mouth of God, more necessary than his spirit. Necessary than his physical food, Job 23:12. Let's finish as we pray here in just a moment with 1 Timothy 4:6. If thou, Paul is talking to Timothy, his understudy, and may this be something we receive and march forward with. Notice, if thou put, Timothy, remember that if you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, and these things would be including the whole of the Word of God. Now, you can't do that all at once, but one at a time, one nugget at a time, you could text somebody a reference in the Bible or a whole scripture. You know, or, hey, check out Psalm 37. I read it again this morning, and it was such a blessing. See, you're exhorting the brethren unto love and good works, which the book of Hebrews instructs us to do, where the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another daily. Daily, not weekly, but daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So notice, we're in jeopardy, according to Hebrews 3:13, of being hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So we have to be encouraged and exhorted in the Lord, and we should provoke one another in this matter. Also, Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider one another to provoke. See, all provocation is not bad, right? Right. Notice, and let us consider, depends on what you're provoking someone to do. Are you provoking them to fight you, or to answer back with harsh words,
or to do something sinful? Or to the contrary,
are you provoking them toward love and good works? Notice Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider one another. Think about your brethren in the Lord, and provoke unto love and good works. 1 Timothy 4:6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, the word of God, thou shalt be a good minister. That's not somebody that walks around with a clown suit on, a costume, and a white collar. That has nothing to do with being a minister of Christ. In fact, Jesus warned against those who wore garb, or they had to dress the part, so-called, of wearing a religious costume. We think of these guys that call themselves bishops, and the phony Pope of Rome, and these phony Catholic priests. That's not a minister of Christ. A minister of Christ is one who brings you into remembrance of the Word of God. That's what we read right here in 1 Timothy 4:6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. So what is a good minister of Jesus Christ? One who reminds us of our need for the Lord, and to seek His face continually, 1 Chronicles 16:11, to ingest His word, as we read earlier in Matthew 4:4, that man is not going to live or have spiritual life with the Lord by physical things, bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Nourished up, notice, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Amen. We must get into the Word, saints, daily, so that the Word of God can get into us daily. And that's when that joy, that love, joy, and peace, that light of Christ is going to shine in you and through you. And part of what you're going to do is that you're going to be a good minister of Jesus Christ by bringing the brethren under your influence into remembrance of the Word of God. And they're going to be, as you are, nourished up in the words of faith. Notice, nourished up, nutrified, nourished spiritually, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Amen. Can we pray together, saints? Heavenly Father, we ask you right now to speak to us through your word today, and quicken us, Lord, to never, not even once, ever rise up in the morning without telling you how much we love you, without thanking you for your great salvation, the unspeakable gift of the sacrifice of the Son of God that has reconciled us back to you. In the name of Jesus, Father, help us to realize the utter importance of being nourished up in the Word of God, your Word, Lord. To say with Job that we esteem the words of your mouth, the Word of God, which we have on record in the Bible, more necessary than our physical food. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together, in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.